con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. It is time to get to some headlines. So March Madness starts today with the first four games. Ladies and gentlemen, get your copies ready. It is go time. Kevin and I will be breaking down those games later in the show, and we'll also be bringing on mid-major Matt to talk more about the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, mid-major Matt will have great insight, not just on those 11s, which I know everybody is excited for. UCLA, Michigan State is going to be very fun. But he knows the 16s very, very well, better than anybody that I know. So excited to get into those first fours. The dance is officially here.
Yes, we also have a one-player update. We have Georgia Tech star Moses Wright won't play in Friday's NCAA game. Wright was the ACC Player of the Year and is the leading scorer. How much will this impact their game against Loyola Chicago, given that many people were expecting this game to be a pretty good matchup?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a very tight game, a very exciting 8-9 matchup. But you said it right there. I mean, Moses Wright is not just, oh, he's the best player on Georgia Tech. He was the ACC Player of the Year. We are talking about a guy who was phenomenal in conference, averaging 17.4 points per game and 8 boards on 53% from the floor. Was supposed to be matched up against Cameron Krutwig, the Jokic-esque big who does a lot of the damage there for Loyola Chicago. To lose Moses Wright is a massive blow to Tech. That spread is on the move.
Yes, for sure, and we'll talk about that later in the show. In terms of NBA trades, the Bucks, they added Rockets forward P.J. Tucker in a four-player deal that also involves picks. So Tucker is currently averaging 4.4 points and 4.6 rebounds per game. What are your thoughts on this trade, Kev?
Yeah, so this is a move that happened, and you kind of ask, you're like, does this matter? I mean, is P.J. Tucker still relevant? Fair question. Similar vibes, though, maybe to Blake Griffin. We kind of just say getting him to a better situation should get the best out of P.J. Tucker. Was a very important run or a very important member for the Houston Rockets as they were trying to make their runs with Harden and Chris Paul or Harden and Russell Westbrook. And I also think it's valuable for the Bucks to keep him outside of the other contenders' locker rooms. The Heat were interested. The Lakers were interested. The Nets were interested. So to get him to come to your building instead of theirs makes P.J. all the more valuable.
I'm sure PJ is happy about the move as well. I mean, the Rockets have lost 17 straight games. And speaking of those games, let's get into a little bit of recap. No KD, no Kyrie, no problem. James Harden scores a season-high 40 points with 15 assists and 10 rebounds to lead Brooklyn to its sixth consecutive win. He's basically making his MVP case, Kevin. And, I mean, they were shorthanded with this win over the Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a disaster result for Indiana. They were up by 15 points at the end of the first quarter. Like, the Nets, without Kyrie, you should have been able to bury them. But Brooklyn has so much confidence. We saw them do this when it was Harden by himself against the Suns without KD or Kyrie. Clearly, this group has their mojo right now. And as we talk about this game a little bit more throughout our show, I think I have to offer the Nets a little bit of an apology, as I might be overlooking just this incredible run that this team is on right now.
Yeah, it truly is an incredible run. Let's also talk about the Bucks being in Philly. This was a great game to me, and honestly, I'm proud of the Philadelphia 76ers, even though they did not win. And welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, hitting some NBA recap right now. So the Bucks were in Philly and erased a 19-point deficit to get the 109-105 win. Giannis takes over in overtime. In a game of wild swings, he scores 10 of his 32 points in overtime. Milwaukee now pulls within 1.5 games in the Eastern Conference standings. We'll break that game down a little more in a little bit, but initial thoughts as the Sixers at least cover at home.
Yeah, it's a tough spot there, though, for Philly. They held Milwaukee to only 31 points in the end of the first half. They were dominant in this game. It was one of the best defensive performances that we had seen all season, holding Milwaukee, a top five offense, to that low of a performance. It ends up becoming a good win for the Bucks, despite the fact that they were 6-point favorites and didn't cover such a number, and a little bit of a tough pill to swallow for Philly.
Yeah, for sure. Another tough pill to swallow for Philadelphia teams. Onto the ice, the Rangers net 9 goals, 9 against the Philadelphia Flyers. I need to step in as coach, maybe as goalie. This is terrible. I mean, this is really bad. 7 goals in the second period. One player records 6 points in one period. Carter Hart lets in 4. Then they bring in Brian Elliott, and he gives up 5. Now they face the Islanders today. I don't even really have words for how bad this is for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, I'll just say this. If you're going to step in for the Flyers at head coach, I mean, honestly, it's worth the shot. The Rangers were without their entire coaching staff. Here's the thing. The Rangers were without their entire coaching staff because of COVID.
They were so short-handed.
And then won 9-0. Like, if you're, like, in the room there, that's, you know, collars get a little tight. Goodness me. I mean, that is a dominant performance from the Blue Shirts.
Yep. Dominant, to say the least. I was asleep last night, so I didn't even get to see that, so thank God. But I woke up this morning reading that headline, and I was distraught. All right, let's move it over to the NFL. Arizona Cardinals agreed to a 1-year deal with A.J. Green after he spent 10 seasons with the Bengals. The deal is worth up to $8.5 million and includes $6 million guaranteed. They also reach a 2-year deal with veteran Detroit Lions kicker Matt Prater. What do you think of that?
Yeah, A.J. Green finding a new home outside of Cincinnati, hoping to be in a more of a winning situation. How much did he accomplish that? We can discuss. But for sure, Arizona becoming a legitimate destination, Aaron, for some big-name free agents this year.
For sure. We'll have to keep an eye on their odds throughout the offseason. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're going to talk about some NBA that happened last night. Starting off with the Bucks in Philadelphia. They erased a 19-point deficit, Kevin, to get that 109-105 win. Giannis takes over in overtime. What were your initial thoughts following this game? Obviously, it was big that the Bucks were able to come back and squash that 19-point deficit, but it was also good that Philly was able to get out to that lead without their star player, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, so this is the kind of game where you can really rain on everybody's parade. You could give both teams a ton of credit. It's really in the eye of the beholder. To start on the Milwaukee side of things, to score 31 points in the first half in a matchup that I think was anticipated, the Sixers sitting atop of the Eastern Conference, and it had some big energy vibes to it, and they didn't even have Joel Embiid. That's horrifying, right? They opened the game 1 of 15 from beyond the arc. A little bit of a postseason vibe to the collapse. But if you wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, Aaron, to come from behind, their offense figured it out, you know, getting that game to overtime. I know Philly was the one who ultimately had to hit, you know, 3 threes in the final 40 seconds or so to really get it to overtime. But Milwaukee was the one, as you said, coming back from a near 20-point deficit in this game. And again, the big thing for them, because sometimes it feels like this might shift when we really do enter the postseason, is Giannis being the best player on the court. And without a doubt, in this game, 32 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists on 13 of 22 shooting. Giannis was the best player on the court, which is the bare minimum qualifier for the Milwaukee Bucks if they want to be a legitimate contender, Aaron.
And out of curiosity, now that the 76ers are a game and a half back from, or excuse me, ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks, do you see them over the next couple of weeks, given that they're not going to have Joel Embiid as their, you know, starting center? He's going to nurse that bone bruise. Do you see the Milwaukee Bucks closing in on them?
So I think right now, not just the Bucks, right, but the Nets, I'm sure to a degree smell blood in the water. The Sixers are now officially tied with the Brooklyn Nets for the same record atop that Eastern Conference. And in terms of the Sixers, though, again, this game, similar vibes. There will be a lot of frustrations over losing a game that they had such a big lead in. It will probably be a little scary for people because as much as Doc Rivers is an upgrade over Brett Brown, and that is an undeniable fact at this point when you look at this Sixers team and the way that you can trust them on a nightly basis compared to other go-arounds, Doc Rivers flamed out of the postseason in horrendous fashion last year, being the coach of the Clippers who lost that 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets. So there has to be some fear there. But again, the other side of the coin, the defensive ceiling that this team hit against the Milwaukee Bucks in the first half is as impressive as anybody has put up a defensive stretch throughout this season. And they are still holding serve despite missing Joel Embiid, who was the NBA's MVP favorite by the time that he actually got hurt. So for the Sixers, I wouldn't be panicking. I think the thing that's unfortunate for them is not only is Milwaukee hot, but Brooklyn just never loses these days.
Yeah, and speaking of Brooklyn, they beat the Pacers last night, 124-115. Harden scores a season-high 40 points with 15 assists, 10 boards. How bad is this for the Indiana Pacers? Is it time to write them off just yet?
Yeah, this is real bad for the Indiana Pacers. They had themselves up by 15 points at the end of the first quarter. And they hardly held a lead going into the second half. To lose this game by almost double digits on top of that, I mean, it's completely unacceptable. Caris LeVert clearly still working himself back into game shape. 6 of 16. He's not been very efficient in his return. I know they still miss TJ Warren. I get all of that. But you are finally getting back to the East Coast here after a difficult West Coast trip, playing teams like the Suns, the Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets. You needed to put this W up on the board. And I know the Brooklyn Nets aren't an easy out, but you had them in a great position there. You've got the Pacers up on the Toronto Raptors by a half game, despite the fact that the Raptors have lost 6 games in a row. They really should have been able to create distance between themselves and the 11th spot in the East. They haven't, and they should be panicking over that.
And speaking of the East, I think we now need to bring up how bad the Wizards have been. So obviously they lost their game last night to the Kings, but they just haven't been able to figure out that stride, even though Westbrook and Beal are playing relatively good to how they were playing before the All-Star break. But the Wizards are just not winning at all.
Yeah, I think it's fair to wonder, you know, if that Washington burst that we had is going to just be that. A burst, a stretch of good basketball, and not really who this team is. Losing to the Bucks twice, okay, no problem. Again, the Bucks are priced on a nightly basis as still probably the best team in the NBA. I mean, they'll lay points almost anywhere that they go outside of Utah, probably. Okay, we can get past that. Home, the struggling Sacramento Kings, that's got to be a W. It just does. And Westbrook goes out there, triple-double, 26, 10, and 14. It was somewhat efficient. Bradley Beal goes for 29, 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. As a team, they were 4 of 25 from beyond the arc, which is just not good enough playing a very soft Sacramento Kings squad. Give the Kings credit. De'Aaron Fox is having a superstar second half. He has scored 28 or more in every game in the second half of the season. He's been phenomenal. But you're right, Aaron. The story here is the Wizards and that playoff push that they were once making seemingly being a thing of the past and something we'll probably not be seeing again from them.
Yes, and also in the East, I do want to mention the Boston Celtics, who lost to the Cavs 117-110. Looking at the box score right now, we have Jason Tatum. He had 29 points. Then you have Jaylen Brown, 28 points. Marcus Smart, 19 points. What is going on with Boston, and why can't they figure it out, especially against teams like the Cavs? I know that they had just lost to the Jazz, but still, they're one of those teams like the Washington Wizards where you're like, are they ever going to figure it out, especially come the postseason?
Yeah, look, I mean, Aaron, they found themselves down 17 points going into the half, only putting 38 points up on the board against the Boston Celtics. They scored 36 in both the third and the fourth quarter, and somehow only had 38 points in the first half. And I guess their offense really is struggling to get out of the gates, because this was a similar issue that they had against the Utah Jazz. There was no excuse for them not to be up double digits by the end of that first quarter against Utah, who played just horrendous basketball for the opening 12 minutes, and Boston only had a two-point lead when that was done. It is fair to question Boston and anything, in terms of how legitimate of a contender this group is. And asking you shall receive, Aaron, yesterday here on the early line, made the point. Boston cannot be ahead of the Miami Heat. That must change. Boston was 12-1. The Heat were 16-1.
Yep.
Well, Miami is still 16-1. But the Boston Celtics have finally dropped down to 18-1. That is where they belong. Not in front of Miami, but behind Miami. So a legitimate move there on the Boston Celtics odds to win the Eastern Conference.
Yep, and the Heat had an interesting game last night. They lost to the Grizzlies 89-85. So looking at the box score, this is pretty crazy. The Heat had 16 points in the third. The Grizzlies had 17 points in the fourth. Jimmy Butler ended with 24 points here. This was a very low-scoring game with the Grizzlies' highest score being 13 points. What went wrong here? Why were they not able to score last night?
Yeah, it was a tough spot here for them. Leg two of a back-to-back, if I remember correctly. Memphis has been playing better basketball, and they deserve credit for that. But a very disappointing close for Miami here as they were looking to extend their winning streak.
Yep, stay with us here on the early line. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk more NBA and preview some of the games that are on the board for tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We're going to recap some of the NBA games that happened last night. So the Nets won 124-115 over the Pacers. I know you had some final thoughts, Kev, on this game.
Yeah, I do want to pull back here for just a moment because I have to give the Brooklyn Nets some credit. I, when it comes to this team, am almost exclusively thinking big picture, which is fair because they are a title or bust squad. Only a couple of them in the league, the Brooklyn Nets, are certainly one of the title or bust teams. So I'm always thinking about, well, what does this mean for their title odds? What does this mean for their chances to actually win the NBA championship? And this current run that they're on, now after beating the Indiana Pacers, has them winners of 14 of their last 15 games. And it is a time, I think, for me to stop and smell the roses here. Yeah. I'd like to see Kevin Durant back out on the court. A report yesterday, I think that he's still going to be 2 weeks away from playing basketball. Not great. But Kevin Durant has played once during this 15-game stretch, and they've only lost one game. And that game, Kyrie didn't even play in. Kyrie's missed a couple of games during this stretch. And they've still put wins up, the crazy performance in Phoenix and another comeback victory here in Indiana. For all of the negatives that can come with James Harden for the postseason collapses, and again, those things are real and relevant to the big picture conversations, Harden goes out there and is one of the best players every single year when it's the regular season. And this was maybe his best performance yet. 40 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds, and a plus 25 for the game in 42 minutes. I mean, when he was out there, they just obliterated the Indiana Pacers. No, I don't think he's going to win the MVP. I don't think you can sweep under the rug the nightmare that was his tenure to start the season in Houston. That's a real thing that really happened. But the Brooklyn Nets are just incredible these days. All they do is win. And more often than not, they're covering when winning. It's a little bit Utah-esque, but people like myself are so preoccupied with, well, when's Durant coming back? Chemistry this, chemistry that. I think I've lost a little bit of sight of what's happening in front of me. So I got to give the Brooklyn Nets, Aaron, a world of credit for being the hottest team in the NBA, bar none, and doing so without the second best player in the NBA.
And maybe we are overlooking it a little bit, just given that we expect them to win. I feel like we talk about them more when they're losing and talk about how much of an upset it is when a team beats them. But now that they're winning, it's kind of just like we expected this. So we still have to give them their credit when credit is due. So I think you made a lot of great points there. But also with James Harden and the MVP, a lot of people might be thinking, oh, he could be the long shot. But again, remember, he did start in Houston. And Houston really could have used him this year, considering they have 17 straight losses now. But let's continue with some NBA recap. So the Hornets played the Nuggets, and I thought this was going to be a great game, but really Denver Nuggets were dominant, 129 win to 104. Gordon Hayward, I just want to mention him. He had 7 points in 26 minutes. So this team was on a hot streak, and then now is starting to simmer down a little bit, while the Nuggets, I mean, they're heating up. Michael Porter Jr., 28 points. Will Barton, 23 points. All of them a collective effort, doing really well. Jamal Murray, 19 as well.
So I think for Charlotte, a lesson here possibly comparable to the one that the Knicks had to deal with. And again, the Knicks were blown out by the Bucks, but play competitive games with both the Nets and the Sixers. But a step up in class. The Knicks are a legitimate contender to make the playoffs, not a legitimate contender to make a deep postseason run in the East. And I don't think that's slanderous. The fact that they're a legitimate contender to make the postseason is well above what their preseason expectations were. Very similar deal for the Charlotte Hornets, a team that a lot of people did not have any preseason expectations for, but are above 500 and think that they can get themselves into a playoff game. But it is fair to say that if they get themselves into a playoff game, and right now still sitting fifth they are in the Eastern Conference, like, you know what? That's incredible. But they're probably going to flame out in the playoffs. You know, we talked about the recent run that the Charlotte Hornets were on, winners of four games in a row. Timberwolves, Pistons, the Raptors with none of their players, and the Sacramento Kings. I mean, that is a who's who of who isn't. To step up and play the Denver Nuggets in Denver and get slammed by 25 points, I think serves as a reminder, Aaron, where Charlotte actually sits in the rankings here of contenders out East.
For sure. And I want to take it out west now. So the Clippers fall to the Mavs. Mavs win 105-89. What's going on with the Clippers? And when Kawhi Leonard, like, he played 37 minutes, had 20 points. You also have Paul George, 28 minutes, 7 boards, 5 assists. And they go against the Mavs. They split the series. But nonetheless, it's just, why are they scoring 89 points against the Mavs team when they're in fourth place in the Western Conference?
Yeah, remember, man, it's really, really tough here, Aaron. So yesterday, you know, you're kind of going through the board a little bit, and I'm just going to myself, you know what? The Clippers have not won consecutive games since February 14th and 15th. And I was like, they're really going to want this one. Now's the time that they break through and win consecutive games. And that was the type of thing where I was like, what are you thinking? Clearly that was a mistake. I know we like fading Dallas at home. I guess maybe that ship has sailed. For the Mavericks here, Luka Doncic, an MVP performance, 42 points, 9 assists, 6 boards, plus 29. Dominant, dominant, dominant. A reminder that Luka is a top 7 player in the NBA. But for the Clippers, Aaron, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, they've not won consecutive games in over a month. Their next two, home versus Charlotte, home versus Atlanta. Gotta give me 2-0. I mean, you just gotta give me 2-0. And I'm not really gonna be impressed if they do, but if they don't, you might need to hit the panic button on the Clippers, because yeah, this team has just not looked right in a very long time.
They have not. And they're one of those teams where you expect them to do well come the playoffs, but you have two of the best players, you know, putting up 89 points with their team against the Mavs. It just doesn't seem like they're going to be great in the playoffs. But we'll move on to another game. We have the Warriors beating the Houston Rockets. Not very exciting. 108-94. Warriors needed a win. They haven't been great lately. They've been in a rut. Any takeaways from this, aside from the Houston Rockets need to basically wrap up their season to spare them any more embarrassment?
Yeah, so this actually now is their 18th loss in a row. But it was the first time.
Oh, 18. I've been saying 17th all morning.
I know. It's, listen, I mean,
we're at 18 now.
Like, it's so high. You know, people are like, oh, I lost count. Like, the fact that you could lose count of a winning streak like this, it speaks more to the Rockets, not you. Don't worry. Here's the deal. This was the first time, though, that they had Christian Wood back. I don't think you can exaggerate what happened here with Christian Wood. He was minus money to win most improved. When he left, they were above 500. He was gone for 17 games. They lost all of them. Every single one. Not like most, not all but two. 0-17 without Christian Wood. Now they've lost their 18th game in a row. I understand. But guess what? Wood was awesome. 21 points, 9 boards, 8 of 12 from the floor, and he was only a minus 6. I understand he was a minus, but only a minus 6. That would have been good enough to get this team a cover. They flirted with a cover in this game. They were getting 12. They lose by 14. We are getting now to the lighter part of the Rockets' schedule. It is coming up with Christian Wood back. There has to be wins on the horizon. There just has to be for this team. Their next game, home versus the Pistons. Goodness me, I think they actually might be favorites. I think. And they should win
you
the game.
Think?
I think. I think so. With Christian Wood.
I'm not
back,
sure.
Christian Wood, little revenge angle versus the Pistons. I think, Aaron. But, oh, what a gross game.
Well, now that you bring up the Pistons, I'll mention they beat the Toronto Raptors 116-112 last night. Norman Powell had 43 points, and they still couldn't get it done. So are the Pistons getting better? I mean, I know that obviously the Toronto Raptors have been shorthanded as of lately, but or is this just one of those games they just get a win?
Yeah, look, Detroit just kind of, right, I guess that whenever Detroit gets a win, it's Detroit got a win. The story here is the Toronto Raptors. You know, FVV, welcome back from COVID, 2 of 13, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. Pascal Siakam, welcome back from your time off, 3 of 11 from the floor, only 13 points, 0 of 3. From beyond the arc. Norman Powell, as you said, heavy lifting, 43 points, 14 of 18 shooting. I mean, that is just sensational stuff from him. Not sure Kyle Lowry's excuse here. Goodness me, 2 of 13, 0 of 7 from beyond the arc. A horrendous performance from him shooting the ball. 15 assists, though, which was impressive. The Raptors have lost now 6 games in a row. That's a lot of games in a row. They, before this, we're above 500. The tough deal is we know why it's happening. They lost all these guys due to COVID and health and safety protocols. Aaron, they got to get healthier and they got to push themselves back up. The blessing for them is still the mess that is the Eastern Conference. This team being a half game out of a playoff spot is preposterous. Them being only 3 games back of the 6th seed is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. In the Eastern Conference standings right now, you have the Raptors in 11th. But at the top, you have the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks. They're all around each other. And then you have the Bucks 1.5 games out from the 76ers. Then a big jump, the Heat 6 games away from the Sixers in the Eastern Conference standings. So this is going to be a crazy conference to cover for the remainder of the season. So maybe start putting some bets in of who you think will actually make it to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference standings. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to talk some more NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're going to talk about some NBA games that are on the board for tonight, starting off with the Jazz and the Wizards. So the Jazz are coming off a win over the Celtics, covering as favorites. Donovan Mitchell, he had 8 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter in that game. Meanwhile, the Wizards are struggling with 0 wins since the All-Star break. 5 straight losses. The Jazz are favored by 10 as they head to play the struggling Wizards. Mm-hmm. At some point, I do believe that they're going to have to turn a page, turn things around. But given that the Jazz are laying 10 right now, do you think that's possible?
I think the Jazz have the ability to run Washington out of the gym if they are on their game. Now, that's not saying much because Washington's been ran out of the gym by much less teams. And I'm not saying Milwaukee would fit that description, but Milwaukee did just beat them by double digits. So Utah and going out there and covering this spread is incredibly live. But Washington is also a group that they have this ability to randomly step up and keep a game competitive just when you think they're left for dead. They'll swing you cover despite the loss. I'd be floored if Washington won this game. This is one of those matchups where if you get it right, you're the smartest, you know, person in the group, and if you miss it, you're such a bozo. How'd you like 10 with Utah? Clearly they weren't playing good enough. Or how did you take 10 with the Wizards? This team's lost 5 games in a row. They're miserable. What are you doing? It's just an absolute disaster either direction. This is the second leg of a back-to-back for the Wizards, which, again, they've been oddly good on, sometimes with Russ, sometimes without Russ. This game, as much as any, though, you gotta get your ins and outs for. Could Beal be absent? Because I know he had some lingering issues. Could Russell Westbrook be absent? If they were both gone, the Jazz would go to like 15-point favorites. Mike Conley's already missing the game for Utah, so the Jazz kind of looking past the Wizards, which, like, I get, but really, like, are you going to look past this squad, Aaron? So early lean towards Utah, running them out of the gym. The total is going to be, by the way, really high here, 240s. Early lean towards Utah. I think this is a game, though, you got to be patient and see who's in and who's out.
For sure, that's great advice. I mean, the Jazz are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5, 4-6 against the spread in their last 9. So obviously, considering that 1-4 in the last 5, maybe you would want to go with the Washington Wizards, but they are on a back-to-back. You do need to find those ins and outs and figure out if Bradley Beal is playing on that back-to-back, given, like you said, he has some lingering issues. And it's not even like you could take the Jazz on the money line. Right now, they're minus 500. We're waiting for that total to be posted. But as Kevin said, it's going to be pretty high. So maybe you want to focus on the over. But again, you need to figure out if Bradley Beal is playing first, because if he isn't, you might not want to go with the over in this game. There's 6 games on the board tonight. I would say this is the most interesting. Hopefully it is a competitive game. But let's kick it off to not a very exciting game. We have the Magic versus the Knicks. The Knicks looking to hand the Magic their 9th straight defeat. Also on back-to-back losses against the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Looking at the Magic schedule, they've also, in their last 2 games, posted 97 points against the Heat, 77 points against the Spurs. So with the total not posted just yet, and the Knicks laying 7, do you lean either way in this game? Or are you just all around staying away from it, considering that, you know, March Madness is picking up now?
So there's a chance that we get a sub-200 pregame total. It's happened once this year. It was the Knicks and the Cavs.
And you dig that low?
It happened once this year. It was sub-200. I bet it to the over. I felt really smart. Fourth quarter, like 5 minutes, there were 3 points. I was like, oh no, they just got there. I mean, it was a disgrace that they hardly got there, but they just got there. The Knicks and the Magic have played a couple of times this season, and the final scores have just always been incredibly ugly, something that nobody should want to look at. The Knicks won 91-84 the first go around and then lost 107-89. Like, somebody's not going to score 100 points. It's going to be miserable. Like, they've literally not scored 200 yet in their 2 games. So it really might be sub-200. Here's the thing, though, Aaron. For people that have been paying attention to what we've been saying about the Knicks, they should already know what we're going to do with this game. We've been waiting.
Here we go.
We've been waiting. Knicks at home, first half, You better believe it. The trend that died, but that's because they left the garden. This trend has still been living and breathing and succeeding when they are at home. I am going to look for the Knicks to cover whatever that first half number is. It's not out just yet. I'm guessing it's four. Four and a half would be unfair. You'd probably still lay it. It would never be five. It's probably four. I think you lay it out of respect for a little Knicks first half. What did we say? Everybody jumped off the bandwagon. This is what we've been waiting for.
So now it's time Knicks to jump back on half. As they
absolutely
head home. And New York's also 11-7 against the spread when playing at home. So even though they're laying seven, it's not too much, especially against an Orlando Magic team that always just fails to score. Anytime I see the Magic on the board, I honestly want to just look over the game because they're not even interesting to watch at this point. Moving on here, we have the Thunder versus the Hawks. Hawks are hosting them and looking for their seventh straight win under their new head coach. This, to me, honestly, is kind of a spot where I think the Hawks could fall. The Thunder have dominated the Hawks 118-109 back on February 26th. They've won their last two meetings. The Hawks are laying seven, which to me is too much because, yes, they have won, you know, six straight games under their new head coach, but it wasn't against, you know, the Bucks, the 76ers, you're talking the Lakers. It's really just been kind of those bottom feeder teams, so I'm not factoring it into that the Hawks are just completely hot, but clearly under their new head coach, they are picking things up.
Yeah, I mean, again, they've yet to lose under their head coach. At some point, that'll stop. Favorable schedule for them under the new head coach. At Miami, okay, that was difficult, but Orlando, Toronto without any of their players, Sacramento, Cleveland, Houston, and now Oklahoma City. I mean, you want to talk about a stretch run that really allows Nate McMillan to ease into things with this group. But again, it's a stretch that's put them at 500, the opportunity to go above 500 now, staring them in the face. If, you know, you are somebody out there that loves a good money line parlay of some big favorites and say, well, there's no way either of these squads can lose, which never goes wrong, ever, ever. Yes, it does. But I could see people wanting to put Atlanta in those money line parlays and trying to play it in that direction. Aaron, I feel like you could be on to something here with the buy low for Oklahoma City. Since they came back from break, they've been exchanging wins and losses and exchanging covers and non-covers. Atlanta is a team, though, I'm not sure I really want to get in front of right now. I'm impressed with this group. Again, I know that they're playing some lower level competition. They have been impressive, but you're probably right. Taking the 7 points is likely the way to go. OKC has still been good against the spread on the road.
Yeah, and I think when you're betting, you're thinking, okay, well, they've won six. Do we continue with this trend, or do we expect that the Hawks fall? You're kind of in that spot of, do we continue with this because they're hot, or they're going to lose one eventually. So I'm more on the side they're going to lose one eventually. Even if you do take OKC to win money line, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost the game entirely. But obviously taking the points, the seven, is a safer play as well. Moving down the board, we have the Pelicans versus the Trailblazers. Damian Lillard pours in 50 to lead them to a stunning rally. Scores 20 of his 50 in the fourth quarter when Portland overcame a 17-point deficit to the Pelicans and won by just 1 point, 125 to 124. They're meeting again. The Pelicans right now are road dogs at plus one. This line keeps moving down, the total at 240. Do you lean either way, Kev?
So here's the deal, Aaron. I think this is all mindset. Which mindset are you going to buy into? Pelicans are defeated. Can't believe that they blew a 17-point lead with less than 6 minutes on the clock against the Blazers and lost in regulation. Not even just lost the game, lost in regulation. Or Pelicans are pissed off. They show that they can not only hang with Portland, but beat up on Portland, and they're going to come out fired up here. Which mindset do you want? I'm more of the line that, you know, Portland is going to be pretty confident. And Portland, you know, isn't going to come out of the gates as slow as they did. Their offense should be a little bit more consistent. Game number two under the belt for CJ McCollum. I could see CJ having a good game. I also think maybe Damian Lillard right now is just going to see green, and he's just going to keep firing and firing. He had a stretch last year. Everybody talks about the bubble. Lillard also had a stretch last year, pre-bubble, regular season, two-week window, scorch earth. He has that ability. Dame had 38 the game before the 50 ball he gave New Orleans. I'm not getting in front of Portland. I'm going to still back Portland in the same way we said it last time where, and again, by the way, too, was that not the perfect example, Aaron, of why I say I'd rather lay minus 124 money line with a team instead of a point and a half with that Blazers-Pelicans game? You imagine laying a point and a half, Portland has that comeback, and you're sitting there and screaming the Pelicans winning. Crying that you don't get the win. I mean, that's just absolutely miserable. So minus 116. Imagine you lay the one at minus 110 and get a push instead of minus 116 money line. I mean, that's just a criminal way to go about it.
Well, you just have to take the money line at that point. Absolutely. If it's a point and a half, if it's a point, you just go with the money line. You pick who wins. You don't try to hope they cover because those are clearly going to be, at least the odds makers think, a close game. So it could come down to a point or two, and it will be surprising to see, you know, who covers.
Right. But if you were a Pelicans backer, and, like, just take the point and a half. I know. It's like, oh, but I could get plus 102. Just take the point and a half, right? It's a little bit more comfortable. But, look, I'm not going to get in front of Portland here. I think there's a chance that they could get themselves on a little bit of a run with McCollum back and Lillard locked in.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's keep moving down the board. Minnesota Suns. Suns are one of the best teams in the NBA overall, 26-12 against the spread. And at home, they're 13-7. The Timberwolves, meanwhile, hold the worst record in the NBA right now. The Suns are laying 10, total at 228.5. Can they easily get this done?
Well, they can. They certainly can. You know, Minnesota's been a little bit better. Off of the break, they had covered for three in a row, and then were down by one to the Lakers at half. Oh, and then they lost by 16. The Lakers put 137 on their head. I mean, goodness me, a little self-respect, guys. 137 is a bazillion points to give up. Here's the question, Aaron. And you know what I've been talking about with the Suns for a long time now, right? When they win, they cover every single time. It's yet to fail this season. Yep. But as the numbers get higher, we start to risk those things not coming true more and more. Mm-hmm. But we've been rolling with this. Who do I think wins this game? I think the Phoenix Suns win this game. I think then the Phoenix Suns can cover this game.
And the one thing that's interesting is when we first started seeing this trend, the Suns were around 7, you know, minus 8, minus 9. Like you said, it's moving up. So eventually, if they keep winning and covering this spread, it's going to move up. It could potentially be minus 11, minus 12. I mean, granted, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they are not a good team. So they're going to lay double digits regardless. Yeah. But it's just something to keep an eye on for sure. The last game on the board is the Hornets-Lakers. So the Hornets are on a back-to-back while the Lakers have won every single game since the All-Star break. Despite AD being out of the lineup, Lakers are 9-12 against the spread at home, though. Right now, they're laying 7.5. That line has moved down from minus 8 this morning. The total at 225.5. Now, the Lakers can be hit or miss at home against the spread, Kev. What do you think?
They can be, but they've been hit recently. As you've said, winners of three in a row, covering in all of those games. They look locked in. We talked about Charlotte, that stepped up in class, getting their card pulled in Denver, and playing in the high altitude and then a back-to-back anywhere is always difficult. Lean towards the Lakers, despite the fact it's a lot of points.
For sure. Okay, save this here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to give you our hero of the night. Thanks so much for joining us. We have a lot more coming up. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. So the NIT tournament tipped off yesterday with Richmond upsetting Toledo 76-66 and Western Kentucky upsetting St. Mary's 69-67. It felt weird the last 2 days not having the first four games in the NCAA tournament, but all four coming up today, and we'll get to them later in the show. But it is now time for our hero of the night.
Yes, it is time for Hero of the Night, and it would be an absolute shame to not go to the NIT for our hero of the night. We talked about this tournament on the show. Two games on the board getting things started. Toledo and Richmond, which was a fascinating game. But we turn our attention to Western Kentucky and St. Mary's. The question of the day was, why not slam Western Kentucky? And the answer was, you should. Western Kentucky, as a two-point underdog, gets the outright upset over St. Mary's, and it was never close. They were only down by a point with a minute left in this game, but Charles Bassey was dominant, a legitimate first-round prospect for Western Kentucky. Goes for 19 points and 11 rebounds on 50% shooting for this game, had the dunk that tied this game at 67 apiece, dominant on both ends of the floor in this one. Couple of free throws for Hollingsworth put Western Kentucky in front, and pretty much at that point had locked up the cover at the minimum, and Western Kentucky got the win. This is a game that I was incredibly excited by. It was a fun one, back and forth. Both dogs winning outright yesterday in the NIT. So, Aaron, I think this is the tournament for you, and Charles Bassey is our hero of the night.
I like it. Yeah, two underdogs winning. I actually had Western Kentucky as my underdog of the day when I posted that on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So I finally got one right because I've been taking NBA teams, and then I go to this weird tournament, the NIT tournament, and I finally get one. More games coming on going on in the NIT today, but stay with us here on the R-Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk all about the first four games that are going on today. Stay with us.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No